Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 39, and I'm Livia, your host, and this week we have returning guests.
Hi, I'm Josh. I have nothing clever to say.
Hi, I'm Tom. I'm still from LA.
Hi, I'm Marcia, and yes, I'm still opinionated.
All right, and this week in the news, first up is that the NBC show Chase has not been picked up for a full season, which is basically essentially canceled. But I never watched it anyway, so I don't particularly care.
And I never even knew it existed.
And the internet creates a resounding,
who cares?
Exactly. Next up, Walking Dead, as we all know, got renewed for second season, but apparently the executive producer doesn't like the way things work, so he fired all the writers. And he said he wants to just use freelancers like the Torchwood model, which I think is an odd model to model your show on, but okay. So he's going to go with all freelancers for second season.
What I find interesting is that when you talk about Doctor Who or Torchwood, they're looking at writers who are deep into that fandom, who know all the little nuances, who, I mean, people in Britain live and breathe their sci-fi fantasy stuff. And he's probably going to pick up people who
don't know
any of that stuff, who maybe do Law and Order, if they're lucky. Plus, I thought that Walking Dead was just pretty much bare, and that it would take the second season for the writers to kick in. Yeah. And now it'll just be first season every season, if it lasts.
Yeah,
it's going to last. First of all, the ratings are insane. But
yeah, the ratings are insane.
But see what that next year is.
If the quality suffers, the ratings won't last.
Yeah.
My hopes are much lower now for this show. Like they've been sort of dwindling.
Wait till we get to the actual show. Yeah. We're still on the news.
Yeah. Sorry, we're still. I told you, I'm opinionated.
Yeah.
All right. Any other news, guys?
Libya has to issue a retraction, and I have to wish, and I have to issue, and I told you so.
Yes, I was giving you the opportunity for the I told you so.
Yes. Last week when we were talking about Lie to Me, Libya said that the actress who played Veronica, the woman with Alzheimer's, was the same actress who played the mother in 6 Feet Under. I said it wasn't. Libya very angrily said, yes, it
angry.
Was.
There was no anger involved.
Okay, well, you were very
insistent.
Absolutely sure I was correct.
Well, we did an IMDb check right before we started the podcast.
And I was incorrect.
And Libya was wrong. I was right. I'm going to relish this moment. Thank you.
Okay, Josh, you have to stop dancing around the room, okay?
But I'm right so very few times.
I tip my hat to you, sir.
Also, the CW has announced that it is developing a pilot based on Raven from New Teen Titans.
Didn't they already do something like that?
No. Yeah.
It just seems really familiar.
It just seems really weird. Because Raven's had one 4-issue miniseries since the character's been created. So to do that instead of all the, you know, rumored Smallville spinoffs seems weird. That and the David E. Kelly Wonder Woman that's supposedly in development.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I think I reported that a while ago.
Yeah, that's kind of...
It just seems weird.
All right. Let's go down to the shows. First up, ironically, is Walking Dead. So everyone now give your opinions. Go.
I was very disappointed with the extreme left turn it took in like the last 15 minutes of this episode. I thought leading up to it, it was very well done. Like the whole scene with Andrea and Amy, it was very cool because like we knew Amy was turning, but I personally never felt that Andrea lost control or was getting too emotional about what was happening and what she had to do. Even though she was like face to face with her sister is a zombie.
I thought that she had lost her mind, actually. I thought the exact opposite, because she's sitting there and I'm sitting tense waiting for her to jump up as a zombie and eat her or whatever. Because, I mean, she was much slower moving than I thought she was going to be when she turned into the zombie. Like, that could have gone really wrong really easily.
It could have, but, and maybe it's because I've read the comics and I know Andrea as a character.
Yeah, I
found it to be 10 minutes of I'm bored now.
Yeah.
And again, I hate watching a show where I can tell in the first 10 minutes how everything's going to go. Now, the last 15 minutes did change.
And I actually liked the last 15 minutes. And I know you read the comics, so you know where it's going.
I didn't like it, and I will get into why later.
That's why this is going to be interesting. If he thinks he's going to get better writers next year to do this, oh my God.
But so, I actually really like this week's episode. I mean, I liked the whole, you know, the tension between Rick and his friend when they're that scene in the woods where he's about to shoot him.
Yeah.
And he's really thinking about it, but he gets caught. And he tries to lie his way. That was an awful lie.
All that was good. It was the last part with the CDC.
Well, I actually thought that was pretty cool because
I didn't like it.
I have no preconception of where it's supposed to go. So for me, I was like, oh, that makes sense that they go to the CDC.
I've seen this already. I believe it was called The Stand.
I was just going to say that.
And it was good. The Stand is one of the few book into movie or miniseries that I actually liked.
Yeah.
I swear. I know there's
even
only...
with the horrible ending.
Yeah. It was The Stand.
I have to say, I of course haven't seen The Stand, so I have no problem.
Whoa!
Yes, thank you.
It's time
for you
to take a stand.
I think Sci-Fi Channel's made like 50 bad versions of it, and like every time I attempt to watch it, it's one of the bad ones.
This is ABC.
There's only one version of it that's ever been made.
I felt like there was more.
No.
Okay. It's the only thing that Sci-Fi actually can't screw up.
Yeah.
All right. But anyway, back to the episode. I really thought that it was a very strong episode. I thought it was stronger than last week. I thought this week, the tension with everyone being dead. I like the insistence of we bury our own. We don't just burn them.
Mm-hmm.
I like that the distinction that they made, and it felt like real people reacting, and it was very somber. And they had the funeral, and I thought they hit all the emotional points.
Yeah.
So for me, I thought it was a very good episode. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of complaints from people who know the graphic novels about the deviation from the plot line.
Did that affect you though?
I was on a plane back from England, so I haven't seen it yet.
That's like complaining that Dexter season one didn't go where the book went. Oh, come on. Well, it's supposed to be based on, not a regurgitation of.
Here's the thing. Here's my problem with it. Is the central theme of The Walking Dead, which I felt was very strong in the comic and they were sort of building up in the series, was that this was about a group of people isolated in this much bigger thing. And we focus on just like this little group of people. We don't get into the bigger story of what caused it. How do we fix it? Like, that's not their concern. Their concern is surviving and trying to build a life for themselves. And now we have this new element of now we're at the CDC and we're with a crazy guy who may or may not have the cure.
I don't think he has
and
the
that,
cure.
And that changes the dynamic. Like,
well, not at all. I never got the impression he had the cure. So, and...
But he's doing some kind of research.
Yeah, okay? But I got the thing that's scary about his research... because he kept saying, oh, this is a fresh sample, I got the very distinct possibility that they're going to be in danger.
Well, yeah.
And he's let them in because he needs a fresh sample.
Yeah.
Yeah, but none of them have been gotten, and he has nothing in there that's fresh enough
to eat anybody. But he could send them out.
Yeah.
Well, he could infect them.
Yeah.
He's got samples.
Yeah.
If he needs a fresh sample with the infection, what do? You infect someone who's not...
For me, this changes the central dynamic and the central theme of the series way too much. Like, it's no longer about just surviving this hell on Earth. Now it's about science
only
shit.
For maybe one episode. I mean, they could... If this guy is a danger, they kill him and then they leave and then it's about surviving again. I don't think it's a huge detrimental change to the entire show.
It's too much of a distraction and an unneeded one.
Well, remember... When you have a show that is about a central core group and they talk and they're doing things and they talk and, you know, those are the ones that die on the television networks.
Well, you see,
they like slam bam. Remember wrestling?
That's because this show is moving at a snail's pace. We have gotten in this series, we're almost done with this first season. In the comic book, we've gotten maybe 8 issues into it.
I feel like this could have been finished in 4 episodes.
Yeah.
They could have gone through all
this. I fast forward
through half of it.
Yeah, the show is moving way too slowly. And, I mean, you can pick up the pace. There are tons of great plot points and action points in the graphic novel that they could have gotten to already at this point.
It'll be interesting to see how closely Darabont adheres to the graphic novels.
I don't think he feels like he needs to. No. That's fine.
Has he ever? Does anyone know if he's even read them?
I don't think he has.
Yes, he has. He had to.
No. He did not have to.
Yeah, he adapted it, and the guy who wrote the graphic novels is also writing episodes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
So yeah, he definitely
wrote an episode.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Okay. My point is, yes, he read the graphic novel.
Well, he adapted the
anyway. We have to move on because this is getting very heated, but that's good. I like the heatedness of it. But we have a time constraint, so let's move on to Dexter, which I also think is kind of a this week's episode took a strange turn for me. Like, did you watch it?
Oh, absolutely.
I thought the whole Lumen and Dexter thing was bizarre, and I wasn't sure where that was going, but apparently...
Well, now we know.
Now we know where it's going, and it was actually strangely unexpected, because Dexter's not a very sexual kind of person. Like, it took him forever to sleep with the girl he was pretending
with Rita,
to be. Rita, who she was just a front.
Well, he loved the idea of Rita, that he did not have to have sex because he has emotion.
He doesn't really have that much interest in it.
But Rita and the children have opened him up emotionally, and we've now found that the way that Harry trained him was to cut all that stuff out.
Yeah.
Right.
When actually, he's not a sociopath in that way.
Like he's a regular emotional person.
Right. And he was having a breakdown. Lumen was having a breakdown. Do I appreciate that they had sex? No. Only because I hate it. It's like, okay, who dies now? But
you knew Lumen was going to die before the end of the season.
Yeah,
not necessarily.
Well, Lumen is either going to die or she's going to take the fall for all the killings.
Willingly.
I don't see Dexter letting her take the fall.
Well, of course he's not going to let her. That doesn't mean she's not going to still do it.
It's been renewed, so yeah, no.
I know. But I mean, usually these guest stars last for one season, so I have no idea what's Lumen's fate. The only thing I can think of actually is Lumen getting killed, but it feels like a repeat of the end of last season.
Yeah.
If they do that. So yeah. I'm not sure where they're going.
Well, it would feel too much like a repeat of season three.
Now, there's a part of me, because we're forgetting the other storyline. Which is the bad cop.
Yeah, watching.
Who's just figured out it's not drugs.
It's body parts.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, he's not long for this world.
Yeah, like, he's totally going to get killed.
He's dead by the season finale. Come on, we all know that.
First of all, he's a bad guy, and you don't like him. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to feel bad if Dexter and Lumen kill him.
Yeah.
I
don't think they're the ones that are going to kill him. If he's killed, I don't think
actually, you're right. Finn, is his name Finn? Quinn?
Quinn.
I'm messing up with my Glee name. I feel that he's probably going to be the one that kills him.
Probably, but then the question is, are they going to try to pin these murders on him like they did with Doakes?
I have no idea.
That's what I like. I don't know. I love that about that show, because I can't figure out what the heck's going to come 10 minutes later. I love that they were in the house next door.
That was great.
Because in my mind, I'm going, oh my God, it can't be caught. There's still three more episodes.
Like part of me was like, okay, like they're caught, but they're not treating it with the same kind of intensity to this that a scene like this should have. And why is that? And then, because they're next door.
That was pretty good. Because you were so sure they were in that room. Yeah. You know? That was pretty good.
But I knew that the other guy was setting him up to be killed.
Oh yeah,
he's happy to have them all gone because he is the manipulator.
Right. And what was creepy was his conversation with the woman. She was like, I told him everything you want me to tell him. And I'm like, this is the guy that beat and raped her when she was like, 16?
Yeah.
Younger, wasn't it?
She was the counselor.
She was the counselor, so they were younger than her.
But the fact that they have been in her life since then.
Yeah.
Or him, at least him,
is creepy. And she thinks she's in love with him.
Yeah, and that she tries to touch him, and he's like, don't touch me. I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, that's the creepiest thing ever. That freaks me out. It gives me the willies.
Yeah.
And nothing really happened on anybody else's storyline, really. There's no real other movement.
Yeah.
No.
Not too much.
But that's fine. I mean, the stuff with Lumen and Dexter is by far the most interesting thing anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem with scaling back the other stuff.
Though I wonder, are they going to at any point bring back the family from last year?
What family?
The killer's family?
Oh, Trinity's family?
Trinity's family.
Yeah, I have no need to.
I don't have a need to, but I have a feeling.
We don't need to, because we're past that.
Yeah, they already did that mid-season. They introduced the concept of them, and then it went away.
Okay. Yeah.
So no need. Okay. Next up, we're going to talk about Chuck.
I'm digging Chuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually was really bored with this episode. I really felt like... I liked the way the mom storyline went and the Volkov, but at the end of the day, you were exactly where you were before.
That's true.
What bothered me.
It's true. Like, yeah, he gets the Intersect back at the end. And
it was just like, how many copies of the Intersect are out there, really?
Yeah.
Come on.
Quite frankly, I thought it would have been a much cooler twist if... Ellie and Awesome
got
had opened it up and
got
they
it.
Got in the Intersect.
Yes,
that would have been fantastic.
I thought that the Intersect was supposed to be coded to specific people.
No. Anybody who looks at it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's why everybody else, you know, whenever he gets the, when he actually opened the thing to get the Intersect, the other guys were at the other side of the room and they were like this.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed with how easy it was. That it was too convenient.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's my
and
point.
So with that. But what I'm digging about Chuck is just, A, they're having fun. Everybody's having fun.
All the
80s, 90s pop cultural references.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the Die Hard. The
yeah.
Die Hard was
well,
a
Die Hard thing.
The Die Hard thing was fun. Having Linda Hamilton saying, come with me
if
you
want to
live.
That was good.
Somebody besides Douglas Fargo and Eureka saying that line.
Yes.
And then there's me, who has now deleted it off my DVR.
Aww.
I find it the same old, same old. The first year, 2 years, I enjoyed it. Now it's just like the one they're doing it for the ratings, too. Oh, my God, a love story.
Well,
will I marry him? Will I want to marry him? Oh, my
Well,
oh my
you
God.
Have to do it for the ratings. They've almost been canceled
it's
like four times.
It's
NBC,
I understand.
It's one of the bright spots in NBC's schedule.
Right.
This
I understand, but it bores me. The idea, again, that in the first 10 minutes I know how it's going to end. Why do I waste the time? There's so much other things on television or, oh my God, a book that I could be spending my time on.
A book?
You say on a podcast about TV. How dare you?
And that's the thing. And I'm really disappointed in that I've given it all these episodes this season. And halfway through this episode, I said, this is it. I stopped it. I deleted it. And I deleted it off the series manager.
Oh, sad.
Well, can I just say, I love Timothy Dalton.
Timothy Dalton doing the charades was fantastic.
It was so brilliant, I couldn't take it.
That was pretty good. But
like,
I actually liked
it. I was watching it at work, and like I had to actually stop and like leave the room and just go outside to giggle.
Only thing is, Awesome being really angry at Chuck for bringing murderers into the house with his pregnant wife.
Yeah,
I kind of got that. I was like, okay.
I liked Awesome standing up to Chuck. I can understand what you mean, that they're playing some of the same beats and notes, etc. I did, however, like that at least Linda Hamilton told Volstock or...
Volkov
mm-hmm. that... You know, I'm with you, but you're not going to mess with my family, period.
Yeah.
Because
that was a very cool speech.
You know,
if
I don't know if this is the end of their arc, but it basically means they can't play the I'm going to put your family in jeopardy card for the rest of the
season. Yeah, I like that he was like, now that was a threat.
Yeah.
He was trying to explain, because Chuck was like, I'm going to do this or else. He's like, bad things
are going to happen.
And he woke up is like, no. This is how you do a threat. So that was all really good.
But I do kind of sympathize with you in that they're playing some of the same beats.
That's my feeling.
They really have
too.
It's kind of
they do, but they're for me there's something kind of comfortable about that.
And maybe that's the joke I always have about, you know, sometimes you see fanfic and it's really fantastic stuff. This to me is like they were just the writers were writing what would make them feel good, but it's the same old over and over again.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's disappointing because there is so much great potential with this show.
I don't know. I sort of feel like it's exhausted its potential at this point.
Yeah, that's what it feels like, and that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, I
don't disagree with you.
All right. Moving on that depressing note, moving on to the event, which was their strangely named fall finale, which means they basically just cut it off where they felt like, because that was not a fall finale whatsoever.
Yeah, this was I barely even remember what happened in this episode.
I only remember because I watched it last night.
Okay.
I watched the teaser and the tag.
Okay.
All right.
Basically, they
go to the hospital and
they find that the sister's missing. So this is the Jason Ritter storyline, and I at some point maybe learn his real name on the show, but I don't think I care because I don't like his storyline. But the one
I just don't like him.
Actually, my issue with this episode was one, not that much happened. They had this whole missile thing. And you're like, oh my god, it's a
nuclear missile. It's gonna.
And I knew it wasn't a nuclear missile. Yeah. We all knew that. Well, it's but like, I didn't know what it was.
All they see is a satellite image of it, and they're like, and immediately they go to, it's a nuclear missile that's headed for the eastern seaboard. And I'm like, how do you know this?
This is they don't know it. They're just going off worst case scenario.
Yeah.
And
but at the same time, like, they call up the ambassador from the country, and they're like, you need to stop this, or we're gonna nuke you.
Right. Well, that their whole thing. If anything happens to our country, we will retaliate against you. So stop it. Mm-hmm. So because they knew they couldn't get there in time, so that all made sense.
And then it ends up launching a satellite.
Right, and the satellite, but that actually, the only thing I had a problem with the satellite.
The bad CGI?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
My other problem was, I was like, isn't this kind of how V ended?
But
slightly different. It was like, the way V ended was, there was a whole bunch of ships coming, and this was, they're calling for some ships. Yeah. You know, so I'm just kind of like, eh.
And then we learn at the end that Layla's father is one of them. Which
we knew that.
I know.
We knew that Layla's father was one of the sleeper agents or the aliens, like, the beginning of the season. The first flashback that they had with him is when you... They don't tell you explicitly, but you
pretty much... They telegraph it pretty well.
Yeah, and so you know that he's one of the aliens, right? So then we get all the way to this episode to go, oh my god, he's an alien. Really? Mm-hmm. Come on. And that's literally the last shot.
Yeah.
That's how they leave us. And I was like, that sucks.
Well, I will be leaving this show mid-season because I've seen Flash Forward before. And here's the problem with the event, and I have some inside information from a friend of a friend. They changed what the event was between when they pitched the show and shot the pilot and when they started first season. And I'm sorry, we're halfway through the season.
And we don't know.
We don't know what the event is.
No. You've already hemorrhaged viewers. You shouldn't have gotten a full season pickup, but because it's NBC, what else are we going to put on?
Yeah.
More reality shows?
Well.
But I don't care. I'm not interested. The aliens are a snore. You know, I don't need to see Carrie Weaver from ER threatening her son.
Well, I like her. They're the most interesting
part to me.
Yeah, but the aliens are way more interesting. I like
the actors. I don't care about the storyline.
I actually find...
And if you didn't know that they were using the kids to sap age, you know, to reverse aging, it's like, I just saw that in another genre show a couple weeks ago.
Wait, excuse me. Wasn't that a Star Trek movie?
No. Oh, it was a Star Trek movie.
It was a Star Trek episode.
It was on Fringe a couple weeks ago.
It was on Fringe.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, seriously? You think this is going to keep me engaged? And you were the hottest drama pilot this year? Shame on yourselves.
Well, they weren't really the hottest drama
pilot. Well, it's like we're to the fall finale. We're midway. The show has even stopped talking about the event.
Yeah. No one talks about it anymore.
Like, they mentioned it once in the pilot. They haven't talked about it one lick
since.
Which
is kind of a metaphor for this show in general. Yeah. Nobody talks about the show because nobody's watching it. And I won't be when it comes back.
Well, I was hopeful that it was coming to, like, I was interested in some of the storylines, and I was excited. This episode did not help with my excitement.
I'm hoping that it goes somewhere, and I'll stick with it for a few more episodes, just, like, crossing my fingers, but yeah, my hopes are not high.
Yeah, at the moment, they're not high. All right, moving on. Next show we want to talk about is Stargate Universe and their fall finale.
Yeah.
And the only thing I have to say to them is, you guys are not Star Trek. Why did I feel like I was watching a Star Trek episode when I was watching Stargate Universe? It really felt like... I had this like weird like out-of-body experience. Like, all of a sudden, I'm like, why am I watching something I didn't think I was watching? And it's mainly because they now have discovered the bridge of the ship, and they're having a big space battle, and they're like... Raise the shields. The shields are 20%, Captain.
No.
I swear to God. Yeah. I swear. That's what's going on.
The one thing I like about
is there a guy with a Scottish accent too?
Yes,
but I can't go any faster, Captain.
But he's actually, and
he's Rush got captain.
Rush isn't the captain. He's sort of the, because Young is the captain.
Young is
sitting in the command chair, and you have Rush with his Scottish accent going, "The ship can't take anymore."
the one thing I do like about the whole bridge setup is they have scenes where Rush will be like, "Okay, plot a course to this," and the guy's like, "Okay, how?"
Right? Like, that was pretty good. But apparently, during a space battle, nobody has to ask any questions.
Yeah.
Like, everybody knows what they're doing. And,
yeah, it's like, really, the only people there who should really know what they're doing are Rush and Eli,
right. I liked Brody. I thought Brody was gonna die through the whole episode.
Oh, man. Oh my god, me too.
I was like, he's gonna die! Because Rush always is the one who goes to explore the new ship, and he was like, "Not my turn this time. Brody, you go." And Brody was like, "All right." And you could tell that he had this feeling. He goes, "Am I the red shirt?
Yeah.
Which one's Brody?"
Brody is one of the engineers. It's like Rush is the main engineer.
Oh, that's
one
of the civilians.
Yeah, they have one of the civilians, and he's been in a lot of episodes.
Yeah, he's kind of like the cynical guy.
Yeah, right. But the thing is, the look on his face during the entire mission was, "Are you
I'm
sure?
Gonna die. I'm gonna like, die. I'm gonna die."
Yeah, he's like, "Am I the guy that dies in this episode?" Like, he had this totally kind of terrified look on his face the whole time, which was great, because then I was like, "Is he gonna die?" And it was good. It was nice tension.
And then we have Telford showing up out of nowhere.
Oh, and I liked the addition of Telford and his big explanation, and I liked how he was like, "Oh, these aliens want to make an alliance with us, and this is what they want to do." And then Rush was like, "Well, let's double cross them." I like the fact that Young is like, "No, we can't double cross them. We have to do this in good faith." And the freaking aliens double cross them.
But it was like the aliens double cross them because they thought they were going to double cross them. I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
That was all. I liked that part, but my problem was, of course, at the end of the episode, it literally felt like a bad Star Trek episode.
Yeah.
And then Chloe gets free and starts killing people. And
does something, but we don't know what.
Right. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
They were like, "What have you done?" And she just looks at you. Credits.
Yeah.
Really? Come on. And that's their fall finale.
And it's a real shame that it ended on this sort of down note, because it had been picking up the last few episodes.
That's true.
You know, you keep using the expression fall finale, and I see it a lot this year for the first time.
Well, they're naming them.
Right. When it used to be called Christmas break or holiday break, it used to be, "Hey guys, since none of you are going to be watching TV, we're just not going to show anything, and we'll see you in January." Now they're calling them finales, most of them are not cut as a finale.
I know, but the only reason that they're doing that is because the breaks are usually, when you did the Christmas break, we usually missed the show for like 2 or 3 weeks. These shows are going off the air for like months.
Yeah, and Sci-Fi and USA have been using this technique for a while.
Yeah,
but the major networks are starting to catch on as a marketing ploy.
Right. Except they don't understand that means you're supposed to stop it at a point. Not go, "Oh, it's that, you know."
That's NBC's problem.
Right, NBC, they're not telling the writers, "We're going to make your break here, so make a big episode." They're not. They're just literally cutting it.
Yeah, they're cutting it and saying,
"This
finale.
Is the fall finale. Too bad it wasn't really that exciting." You know?
Whereas on shows like Galactica, they could actually plan, "This is going to be..."
Though, technically speaking, Stargate Universe knew this was their break episode, and hopefully it'll get better in quality when the second season comes back. All right, the next show we're going to talk about is Glee.
Glee.
And this week's episode of Glee was sectionals.
Can I get a pool of money together? Can I go and ask people to chip in so we can just have Rachel killed already?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. I will drive the bus that moves over.
Okay. I will pull the trigger. I will stab the knife. I will do whatever it takes to get her killed.
But it's not just her. I also want the person who's actually writing this crap.
Well,
showrunners are the only ones who write this crap.
Then I want to get one of them, and then the other
episode
will be better.
This episode was an absolute joke.
I actually didn't hate the episode. I dislike Rachel with the power of a thousand suns.
Yes.
But I've disliked Rachel. I can't remember how many far back.
She's just gotten so progressive. Here, my students they figured it out. They're basically giving her songs to sing that she will never ever, you know, roles that she will never ever play on Broadway. So Evita.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But it's like, come on, seriously?
Actually, I did like the Evita song.
I didn't like
it. Yeah, but she'll never play Evita.
I'm just saying. I hate the duet.
Just because I hate everything Andrew Lloyd Webber has ever done in his entire career, and I want him to die horribly. But that's beside the point.
But my thing is, I don't like the words they're putting in her mouth. She went from being a nerd, from being picked on, from all these things, and now in her little fiefdom, all of a sudden she's the queen of all, and she's treating everybody else in the group like crap. She's a complete
biznatch.
Well, she was so inconsistent in this episode too. Like, you would have one scene where she is just queen biatch of the universe to
everyone else,
to everyone in Glee, and then she has this tender, loving scene with Kurt,
who there's no way on God's earth, Kurt.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, that thing is, that's why they talked about the fact that they hated each other, but now that they're not competing for the same roles, they're okay to be friends.
But they're competing in regionals. That's true. A lot more.
I will be deciding whether to keep this show in the queue or not.
I actually thought this episode was pretty good. I will say...
Although my students have suggested, skip the dialogue, just go straight to the musical numbers.
Well, I've done that too, on occasion.
In some cases, yeah. This one, not so much.
The thing that bothered me was Schuster was, again, predictable, and he changes his entire plan to try to impress a woman.
Yeah.
That's predictable.
Yeah, because that's Schuster, and I find that very irritating. As much as irritating as you guys find Rachel, I find that equally
I agree. Schuster is very annoying too.
I like Matthew Morrison. I hate Will Schuster.
Yeah.
If you were to put Will, Terry, and Rachel in a bus and send it over the cliff like Veronica Mars season 2.
You said Terry.
Schuster.
Yeah. Oh, her wife. Yes, wife.
Because it's past time for her to die.
Yeah, I totally hate her.
But
Let me say the positives, because everybody's been negative. Let me say the positive.
Okay.
I thought that the performance from the old fart school. No, not the old fart school.
The boys' school.
The Warblers, yeah. Their performance was really good. I really enjoyed it. I also thought that seeing Kurt at that school, you see how un-Kurt-like he is in that situation. So basically, to get his safety, you know, so he's not in a school where he feels threatened, he has to give up a large part of his personality, which is why they did that big, obvious, over-the-top, look at the caged bird, even though it's molting, it'll get adjusted to its own cage.
Yeah, that horrible metaphor.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that was pretty blatant. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, he's gone from being a big frog in a little pond to being a little frog in a big pond. Right. And you can see in the way, I like the actor's facial expressions at the school, during the actual sing-offs or regionals.
Yeah, right.
You can see everything that's going on with him. He's realizing that he has cut his legs off to have safety.
Right.
That his life is now boring.
Right.
That his friends are boring. And they've actually told him to stop being him. You're wearing a suit like everyone else. You have to be like us. You have to conform.
Yeah, yes. And that's not Kurt.
That's not Kurt. No. Right.
And I think that's going to lead him back to the...
Yeah, we're going to see him back.
We're going to see him back. But, I mean, he has to go through this journey to figure that out.
Right.
Everybody has to do stuff like that at some point. But the other thing I wanted to talk about was at regionals, the songs the Warblers did was really good. I thought the first song that the Glee Club did sucked.
Which one? Yeah.
The first song.
Time of Your Life?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. Is that the first one?
From Dirty Dancing?
Yeah. I thought
that was
old people.
Well, no.
They gave him the song because of that.
No.
You're talking about
not the old people.
I'm talking about the Glee Club, New Directions. Oh, their first song that they did. First of all, the Dirty Dancing song, the way that they came out, I was like, didn't they do that originals last time?
Yeah.
Like, it felt really repetitive, and the song was slow. And even though they didn't use their best singers, they used the new people. I still didn't feel
like... I like Barbie and Ken.
Song performance wasn't really that good.
See, this is why I messed it up. I was mixing it up with the song that the old people did, because it was from that generation. Mm-hmm. I hated the song, the one you're talking about, and I hated the singing, but I liked the dancing.
Well, that's the thing, is that was the second song.
Yeah.
They did two songs. The first song,
Again, what the hell? Why do they get two songs?
Well,
because they're the stars of the show.
And also, you have to assume the other ones got two songs. We just
don't care about them.
But the problem I had was based on their first song, they shouldn't have won anything.
Right.
I was like, you're in last place. But then they did the second song, and I was like, oh, that was pretty good. So in that case, I was like, all right, I see why they... Though, I called the tie, I called BS on the tie.
Yeah, I called total BS on the tie.
I don't know if I said this before, but the biggest problem with this show, you write the story, then you pick the songs to fit the story, not the other way around.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Until they figure that out.
Yeah.
But they're selling so much on the merchandising that this show can be crap and it'll still keep going.
Right. All right. So we could argue about this again forever. Let's
next week.
Let's move on to Psych. And this week's episode of Psych was an homage to Twin Peaks.
And I missed it!
Appropriately titled Dual Spires.
Aww.
And they went all out again.
I mean, they went way all out.
Oh, man.
They had like six of the original actors from Twin Peaks.
I know. Oh, and God. I'm so glad they
redid the main title sequence.
And it's so freaking slow. And got
Julie Cruz to sing it.
Oh, I didn't know who they got from. But it was just, I was just like, wow. Because I remember when I used to watch Twin Peaks, I was just like, oh my God. Like, that show was so slow. I felt like somebody was stabbing me in the eyes.
I am a huge Twin Peaks fan, so I'm really bummed that I missed this.
As soon as
we're done with the podcast, I'm going to go home and watch it.
It was fun.
My roommate made me watch Twin Peaks, and literally like with a gun to my head, because my problem with Twin Peaks really quickly was that I thought it was way too slow. I love the comedy bits, like with the cops and the donuts, like all that stuff. I thought it was fantastic. But then when we got to the super melodrama, I was like, shoot me now. And so I thought with Psych...
Oh, I thought that was brilliant.
Psych was just... Everything was melodrama. Everyone would just fall out and just lay down on the couch and start crying. For like, no reason. And I liked that Sean was like, isn't that a little overdramatic?
The moment when they open with the dead girl in the plastic bag.
Right, that was exactly the same thing.
But with Cheryl Lee looking at her, and Cheryl Lee was... That was brilliant.
Oh, man.
I know that they did a lot of references, which I missed probably half of them because, like I said, I was watching the show with a gun to my head. But the couple of references... Oh, I like the fact that he kept trying to make 16 Candle references and no one got them. So then
one would make any pop culture reference.
Right, and so then he was like, what do you guys watch? And they were like, oh, we watch Everwood.
Yeah, every Thursday night you guys are together for Everwood.
Everwood was great. So then he started using Everwood references, which I got because I love Everwood. I was like, this is fantastic. Though I find it unbelievable that Sean would watch Everwood. Like, I don't believe that he watched that. But anyway, I thought just overall, if you're a fan of Psych, you will be lost in this episode because it doesn't feel like a Psych episode. And there are so many inside jokes that you're not going to get like 90% of them. Though I did like Ray Wise, like they show him and he's got his regular black hair, the gray sideburns or whatever. And then he comes to the town and all of a sudden his hair is gray, like that's directly from the show.
Yeah.
And they were like, what happened to your hair? He's like, oh, I had a bad job. Somebody did my hair and it totally went wrong. And I was it's great.
Sister Mary Clarice is to blame.
She did the digest. But and they went to the cabin and everything, and then they had the goofy dance scene at the end, which was so bizarre. It's bizarre. Twin Peaks has the whole dancing thing where they have
the dancing dwarf.
They had the dancing dwarf in the red suit, and you're like, what does that mean? And you never really find out exactly what that means. But then they did it with the guy wearing the same red suit doing the dance, and I was like, he should be shorter. That was like my thought, and I just liked what was with the hand thing. I forgot that the whole when Lassiter was like, "This is the best side I've ever had." Oh, he was playing Kyle MacLachlan.
He was playing,
I'm late.
Agents.
Yes, because he's like, this is the best cider I've ever had.
I missed the chief. She hasn't been in the last couple episodes.
Oh, that's true. Well, that's because they theoretically have been having the episodes not in Santa Barbara. Because one, they were in Canada.
But still, they've been back in Santa Barbara for at least parts.
Not really. They were in Canada, like, at the beginning of the season.
The Funhouse episode.
I don't remember. I just remember that they haven't been there for a while. But overall, I would say this episode is great if you're a Twin Peaks fan.
Evidently.
Mediocre if you're not.
The video version of this is going to be even longer. And this was supersized. It was 1 hour, 8 minutes long.
Oh, I didn't even realize.
And they're going to have an extra, like, 8 minutes on the DVD.
Well, that's because you have all... Because with Twin Peaks, everything moves so slow.
Yep.
So you have to have time for the scenes to breathe. And I liked Buster. Gus. Thank you. It was like, his name is actually something weird like that. But anyway, Gus was doing his sympathetic crying. That was all great. Like, all that stuff. And then they were there for the cinnamon festival.
I want to know if there's is such a thing as cinnamon pie.
Oh, I don't know, but apparently it was fantastic.
Because I was like,
that sounds awesome.
That sounds good.
Yeah, so thumbs up, psych. All right.
Sweet.
Moving on. We are going to talk about, everyone around here has been talking about terriers. I have not been talking about terriers. I have recently just gotten into the show. However, I'm not caught up. So I will hand off the discussion of the Terrier finale to you guys and let you go forth.
What is Terriers?
Well, see, that's the problem. Imagine you had Magnum PI, but it was just called Magnum. You know, you'd either think it was about condoms or a gun. Well, the problem with Terriers is that someone said, ooh, Terriers, dogs that bite and hold on and never let go, because that's what the dogs are. They're hunting dogs. When let's have a really funny-looking dog on the poster. How about something that said maybe Terriers .pi or something that would say, guys, this is a show where people actually
talk
about
brains.
They
have not had a very good ad campaign that told you what the show was actually about.
What is it on?
There's
FX.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Worst marketing campaign ever.
Yeah.
This was the final episode. No one knows yet if it's going to be renewed or not. Probably not, considering...
Nobody's watched it.
Well, they're doing online petitions and stuff like that, but we'll see where that goes. But
I love the ending.
I thought the ending was fantastic.
It was perfection, and of course we're not going to tell you what it was. It was perfection.
What? Lydia's not here. We can talk about
it
now.
Who stars in it?
Donald Logue is the main guy.
I like him.
Yeah. I can never remember his name, but he played Rene in True Blood.
Oh, I know you're talking about.
Yeah. He plays his partner. Who else is... Not many big names in
it. No, it isn't. But, you know, it's Sean Ryan put it together.
Sean Ryan did it?
And Tim Minear.
Why didn't they promote this thing? I would have watched it.
Yeah.
Just for their names alone.
Well, and that's the reason I got into it was because it had Minear attached. If it didn't have Minear attached to it, I never would have watched it and I would have missed out on a great show.
This is what I look at is it's Rockford Files up to date with real humans. And they filmed it in San Diego.
Yeah.
Storyline's wonderful. And again,
we got to stay on time here, so let's talk about the actual episode.
Okay.
So the season, possibly series finale, actually most likely series finale, was focused on resolving the big Zeitland land grab conspiracy, which I thought was really cool. Like, they've been building up this whole story about how Zeitland is part of this big land grab to basically pave over their entire town to put up a new airport.
Yeah, they're going to get rid of Ocean Beach because it's just falling down anyway.
And they
have no political power. They've now found out that the councilman, who they thought was this cool hippie guy, actually is in their pocket and took some of their evidence, so now they're out of luck.
So,
but the blogger...
So it sounds like it's got a little Chinatown vibe, too.
Yeah,
yes.
Big Chinatown vibe. Like, the end of last week, basically, everybody who they thought was on their side is either dead or turned against them.
Wow.
And his ex-wife's new husband is now dead, too. Mm-hmm. Luckily, she knows that it's not him, even though Zeitlin's people tried to get him... And did get him arrested as the murderer. But luckily, there are enough people in the police department who are friends still of his and his ex-partner.
They were able to bust him out and give him enough time to clear his name. And that's really what this episode was about him clearing his name, blowing the lid open on the conspiracy, getting Zeitlin, and then we find out that Zeitlin is actually under the thumb of this other guy.
Oh, jeez.
Who we've never seen, however, he's the reason that the guy died way in the first episode.
Yeah.
So you find out that the big bad is really smaller compared to somebody else.
Yeah. But at this point, he's got enough leverage on this big bad that really all he needs to do is just go and talk to him and tell him, listen, this is how it's going to go down, and that's how it goes down.
Yeah, what he did is he gave him one piece of evidence that he had, which was enough for him to say, fine, I'll shut it all down, because if this information ever got out, my entire business, my family, everything will be ruined. It's a huge piece of power.
Mm-hmm.
However, at the same time, the partner is going to jail for 2 years because he beat up his girlfriend, a guy that was friends with his girlfriend.
Because he thought that she had slept with him. And, like, beat him within an inch of his life.
Wow.
And, oops, wrong guy. So, they're broken up now.
Okay, so we're...
And...
We're getting to 5 minutes, so we need to...
Well, that's it. The question at the end is, what are they going to do, the two partners? Are they going to stay in San Diego? Is he going to go to jail for 2 years, hopefully get off of good behavior? Or are they going to make a left turn onto
and go
the
to Mexico?
And that's where you're left.
Gotcha.
That's where you're left. Okay. Like, it leaves him with, okay, you make the call. So, yeah, very, very good episode. Very great. Great series, great finale, and...
This is the show, the best show out there you're not watching.
Absolutely.
The show you didn't even know was around.
Yeah.
Yes, and I guess so, we can only hope that it gets the Firefly effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, moving...
Burn Notice?
Yeah, moving on to Burn Notice, and this week's episode was pretty... I consider it sort of big and sort of not, because half the episode was about Michael and his brother.
It felt kind of... disjointed because you had so distinct halves of the episode.
Right. You were very much one half of the crew was working on one problem and the other half of the crew was working on another problem, and the two cases had
nothing to do with each other. Yeah.
So this is the first time I've ever done something that different before. And they were they were literally in different parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were out of the country. Ooh. So I did like the brother. He does look like his brother. He doesn't act necessarily like his brother. But I did like the duality of the two brothers trying to save two brothers. So,
yeah, that was a nice touch. And Madeline.
Oh,
I love that they're using her a little more integrated into the plot line. So.
No, but man, I could feel that Michael would have a complex with his mom always like, I don't care if you get hurt, but you better not have anything happen to your little brother. I will put this cigarette out in your eye if something happens to your little brother.
Here's my question.
I was like, wow.
Is the dad dead, or did he just leave?
He's dead, I think. Because Michael basically left as soon as he was old enough. That's why he became a spy, because the dad beat them.
I just wonder if the dad's really dead.
I got the impression that he was. I haven't seen first season.
I don't know. Maybe
because
I've been watching too many spy shows where long lost brothers show up. I just wondered about that. I forgot to mention one piece of news. Jeffrey Donovan is in talks to direct the Sam Max prequel movie.
Oh, cool! I heard they were doing a prequel.
Yeah,
so that'll be pretty cool.
Donovan's evidently being.
He wants to do the prequel.
Yeah. No, they're. It was in the trades.
Okay, cool.
So, which is cool. But no, I've been digging Burn Notice, especially now that they've gotten kind of over the unpleasantness with Michael and Jesse.
Oh, yeah, Michael and Jesse are now back to working as a team versus trying to kill each other. Yeah. I like them as... I like Jesse as an addition. I think he's a really good addition to the show. However, part of the tension that I liked was that Jesse had a thing for Fee,
uh-huh.
and Michael is with Fee. So that tension was kind of interesting, and they kind of dropped that.
I don't necessarily think the tension's gone. Because basically, before they reconciled, he basically told Fee, hey, you and me are okay.
Right.
That's not who I have a problem with.
Right.
And so he's still sweet on her.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would kind of like to see Michael basically decide, you know, I'm not making a move on Fee. I don't know. It's just that weird, complicated...
Well, and that's the thing, is Michael is way less interested in Fee than Fee's in Michael. Like, Fee is way into Michael, and Michael's like, eh.
Yeah, but I wish Michael would just tell Fee, you know, I don't mind if you pursue Jesse. Because I like Jesse and Fee. They're a good team.
They are a good team. I don't think Michael would...
Do that.
Mainly because even though Michael's not that much into Fee, he does get jealous.
He likes having her as...
Yeah, he does get jealous
stand
whenever...
Standby frat buddy.
Yeah. Whenever she looks at another guy, he's jealous, even though he pretends that he's not.
Speaking of terriers,
Yeah. So I like the bringing back his brother, by the way. I think that they have really good chemistry, even though that was a great scene where they were supposed to be pretending to be, like, kind of gangsters. And Michael does his little voice, like his gangster voice, and he does a line. And then his brother's like, yeah, what are you doing too? That was awesome. Was great. Yeah.
You're not coming next time.
Yeah, his brother is not made out for that, which is why the mom was worried. But man, if I was Michael, I would have a complex.
It's been interesting that they're slowly inching back to Michael's, you know, okay, now I've got the list of people who burned me. Now what do I do?
Oh, yeah, that the way it ended was very much like, well, should we do this? Should we destroy the list? Should we go after each one of them? And I was like, what is this, Dexter? Like, there was that moment where Fee was like, let's go down the list and kill everyone on the list. And then Michael just has this look on his face. And you don't know what that means. Nope. And then the episode literally cuts before he says anything. So we have to wait for the next episode to find out what Michael would do.
Yes, we do.
All right, now you guys weren't watching Burn Notice? Watch Burn Notice.
I need to get caught up on it.
All right, next show we want to talk about is Vampire Diaries.
Aren't you glad I got you on this show?
Speaking
of getting caught up,
I will give you partial credit.
Oh, now just partial credit.
Well, because what it was,
I think we can find a podcast in the background.
No. I'm not saying you didn't say it. I'm not saying that, but I was very adamant that I wasn't going to like the show. Mm-hmm. And it was a combination of you going, oh my God, why aren't you watching the show? Along with Peter had gotten the DVD. He got the Blu-rays from his somewhere. He got them. And he was like, everyone at work is talking about it, so I think I'm going to go ahead and watch it. And he's like, because everybody claims it's so great. So I'm hearing from him that it's so great, and then I'm hearing from you that it's so great. So it was the combination of the two forces that made me go and watch it. So I give you 50% of the credit.
And I give you credit, and you and Peter, for getting me into it, because now I am caught up.
So does that mean I get 25%?
Yeah. Like, in the MLM scheme of it, you get, like, 25% of Libby's commission.
All right, let's go into the episode itself. Ooh. Which was pretty big. I thought it was a pretty big episode.
But I love that almost every episode feels like it's a pretty big...
That's true.
They're moving the story along, which...
That's what I like so much about this show is that it doesn't move at a snail's pace. It is boom, boom, boom,
and
boom, boom.
Like Marcia's talking about, you cannot predict the end. Every time I think I know what's going to happen...
Do you watch it?
I kind of predicted
Not
the end
yet,
of this
but
episode.
Now that I've gotten rid of enough shows off the DVR...
they're running a marathon.
Yeah, they're having a marathon, but it's the second season marathon.
I'm sorry. I have Eugene. I don't need to wait for it to be on a DVR.
Yeah, we won't say what that means.
Yeah.
But basically, this week's episode was... You had two storylines going on. You had Elena very much wanting not to... be the one that everyone was going to die to protect. Yeah. I actually have to give her credit.
Yeah,
for
going on
that
suicide mission
like
to
Elena,
Klaus.
Unlike those other vampire...
Yeah, Elaine...
Unlike Sookie or that other sibling.
Yeah, Bella, Sookie never would have done what Elena did.
Elena's got cojones.
Yeah, she was like... Her two vampires who were in love with her were willing to sacrifice their lives for her. Her family was willing to fight for her. And she's like... What if I just let myself be sacrificed and then I save everyone?
How about Alaric and Aunt Jenna?
Well, we knew that was happening.
Yeah, well, that was going on, and he was like, I'm naked.
That was so great.
My only problem with that scene is the witch, a warlock, excuse me, who broke into her room and literally stole everything in her
room.
And
she doesn't notice?
She doesn't notice anything.
Seriously?
Yeah. I can understand him taking some of her hair and she not noticed.
Yeah.
But
he took her hair, he took a picture, he took a mirror. He took so many things.
And I was like, where is he carrying them in his jacket? Like, he took so much stuff out of her room.
He has a pocket universe in his
insane. I don't understand how she didn't notice all that stuff was gone. But okay, never mind that.
Yeah. And then we have Bonnie witch raping the other guy.
But I don't feel bad for him because
no, me neither.
Because he's a bad guy.
Yeah, he's a bad guy.
He's
so
trying
I'm
to
like,
use her.
Yeah, so she used him first.
Literally.
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
Using and him up.
She totally did. That was awesome.
Okay, is it just me or why do I really want Bonnie and Jeremy to get together?
I do. So no, it's not just you.
It's not just you.
Just making sure.
No, they're good together. I would like to see them
have beautiful mocha babies.
But I mean, they very much showed that he's willing to die for her.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the boyfriend category, you get pluses for that.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see this new triangle developing between Caroline, Matt, and Tyler.
Oh, yeah. That's true. The only thing that Matt's out on is he's the only one with no superpowers.
Matt is quickly becoming like the Xander of the show. It's like he's in it on the fringes. He always seems to get involved somehow, but he has got nothing going for him.
The thing is, he actually doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah. That's the difference.
I have a feeling something's going to happen that between him and Jenna, one of them is going to start figuring stuff out.
Jenna's not going to figure it. Buffy's mom.
Jenna is Buffy's mom. She's not figuring anything out until they flat out tell her.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But I think that Matt is going to, he's going to figure it out, mainly because his friend's going to start turning to a werewolf every once a month.
Yeah.
But I find that I like Caroline and
Tyler.
Tyler. That relationship is interesting, mainly because Tyler has been such a jerk for so long. This is the first hint of humanity.
Watching the uncle's videotapes was really...
That was almost as good as the transformation scenes in Being Human.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, just... He was legitimately freaked out. That would have freaked me out.
Yeah, and... what I liked about that is, like, this is the first time, like, we really see Tyler, like, vulnerable.
Mm. Right.
Which was really cool.
Yeah. And then the other quick storyline that we had was the brothers were... What were they doing?
They're trying to get the Moonstone.
They were trying to do the spell to get the Moonstone from Catherine,
which
totally didn't work.
No.
Yeah.
And the finale, the great thing is...
Stefan
is now trapped.
Which, I don't know about you guys, but I saw that coming.
I actually didn't see that coming.
I didn't mind it.
I didn't mind it, but I didn't see it coming.
I didn't mind it, but I did see it coming. Like, I knew it was going to come down to one of them having to go in there and get trapped with Catherine.
What I think is interesting is that, okay, now Klaus is the big bad who's after Elena that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, he needs her for the sacrifice.
But his hench vampire dude?
Elijah.
Elijah. Why doesn't Elijah move against Elena? That's the kind of stuff that I love in Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
Is they misdirect you because
and
that dude decapitates people with his freaking hand. Like, bam!
Elijah is like the most badass vampire ever seen. Like, he comes back from a staking where, like, Damon basically stakes him with a freaking tree.
Yeah, it was a big 2x4. He's just, like, two hands.
Yeah.
Stakes him. He comes back. And he's like, I like the fact Damon's reaction was like, but I killed you. And he's just looking at him, and he just rips the hearts out of two vampires right in front of him who are older than Damon.
Yeah.
And Damon still steps in front of Elena. And I was like, dude, that's
dedication. That's hardcore.
That's some serious dedication right there.
I'm just wondering, you know, I thought for sure that Damon was going to kiss Elena.
Oh, he had that moment where he's grabbing her?
He was just so close. He had that moment.
And Catherine and Stefan were going to...
Well, they were watching.
Yeah.
I know, but I just thought for sure...
Only thing I'm disappointed in is I saw the preview.
Have you
seen the preview?
No, don't tell me.
No, I'm asking Tom. Mm-hmm.
For next week?
Yeah.
Nah.
Oh, you haven't seen it? All right.
Don't tell me.
I'm not going to say anything. I just said that I was...
But I just wonder how long it's going to take Elena to admit that she does have feelings for Damon, too.
I don't know,
Because dude is serious.
Oh, he's serious. I don't know. I haven't seen any real indication that she necessarily feels anywhere near.
No, I don't think she does.
I think she's in denial.
I think she cares about him more than she's like willing to let on, but I don't think she's like straight up in love with him.
No.
I don't think the feelings that Damon has for her are not reciprocated.
Correct.
She thinks he's hot, and that's about it.
But she does have feelings for him. I think there's a little bit more. I think she's fonder of him than she lets on. Because he has saved her bacon a couple of times.
He's also done some really bad things to her, too.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Killing her brother.
She's wary of him, I'm sure.
And I think justifiably.
And I don't think that suspicion is ever going to leave, like, really at any point.
Okay, moving on. The next show up that we want to talk about is Fringe, which was... It's not its fall finale, though it felt like a fall finale.
It sure did.
It was a culmination of everything we've seen this season all came together.
It's the first arc of the story.
The first finale of the first arc.
Yeah.
How about that?
Which they started with the spring the second season finale. I'm really frustrated that Fringe's ratings aren't better because the show is firing out all burners.
Yeah.
My
yeah.
favorite, oh my gosh, best line. I put it on my Facebook page. It's like, she basically, Walter coining a new phrase, vagenda.
Yes.
It's exactly what you think it is.
It's exactly what you think it is, yes.
It was like, he's like, she's a Matahari. She seduced my son with her vagenda.
He fell into her, you know. She used her manipulations and he fell right into her vagenda.
Marcia is sitting here shaking her head. And the best, amazing.
And the best part is Astrid's like, vagenda?
Yeah. That was pretty good. And he was very...
What were you last in Virginia? Okay, fine.
I like the fact that Walter was really upset about the fact that she basically used his son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was really upset about that. And I thought that was really interesting. And I liked how Broyles from the alternate universe.
I knew.
Well, I didn't know.
From the previous episode when he told her, I won't forget this.
Right. I knew he was going to help her.
Yeah, I knew.
Didn't think he was going to be missing arms and legs at the end of it. Like,
yeah. Yeah, that was some help.
That was a little above and beyond help, man.
I'm kind of. It's interesting that as much, and I think I've said on here before, that I'm not completely sold on. Why can't I think of her name? Anna Torv.
Yeah.
You know, I was not sold on her at the beginning, but I really liked real Olivia much better than faux Olivia.
Yeah. Faux Olivia is so freaking evil, except for that scene at the very end where she realizes that Broyles is gone and she doesn't know why. Like, yeah. I actually felt bad for her because she basically traded her getting back for her friend, because Broyles was her friend.
Right.
And I actually was like, oh, that's going to suck, you know?
Yeah, but you know what? You make your bed, you lie in it.
But she was still following orders. That's my thing.
She was still following orders, but at the same time, she was... A lot of what happened was because she set it in motion.
Right.
And not only that, but she knows that... That Walter did is a big fat liar about they're trying to destroy us.
Well, yeah. Now she does. I don't think she knew that before she went on the mission.
Yeah, but the thing is, she knew during the mission that everything that he had been saying was not true.
Well, as she figured it out, what would have been nice was to see that realization. Would have been to see her have this moment of like, am I doing the right thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, and
that's true. Like, there never was like this moment of her realizing that everything Walter had told her was a lie.
The closest you get is when she asks Peter, "Well, if you had to choose between which universe, what would you do?" Like, she asked him that question, and he was like, "Well, we find a solution. We don't, you know, we make a compromise."
Bingo.
Mm-hmm. And then she was kind of like, "Huh?" And I think she thought he was naive, versus, maybe you might be right.
I love that she took the wrong computer. That was just she was just so when did you figure it? She thought that she was so smart figuring out that he figured out.
Yeah, well, his face gave it away.
Yeah,
his face totally gave it away.
But still, he got the computer.
Yes, which was great.
Well, and one of the things that has been bugging me was like, why has it taken Peter this long to figure this out?
Well, he started to figure it out, and then she slept with him, and then he stopped.
That's true. That's true.
Yes, the vagenda.
If you go back and you watch a couple episodes ago, he's having a conversation with her and goes, since you got back, you've been different. You haven't known this and you haven't known that. He's like, I think that's kind of strange. And he starts, instead of like trying to discover if it's true, he starts talking to her and kind of trying to test her. And as soon as she realizes, he's testing her, my cover's about to be blown, she immediately shows up at his apartment and sleeps with him. And then he stops asking questions.
And he gets all moony. Yeah. I'll be interested to see what the relationship between real Olivia and Peter
is like. That's going to be
awkward.
That's going to be bad because really her whole thing is, he was what kept her going. And that's like gone now, you know? And
what do you mean it's gone?
Well, it's gone in fact.
She was having visions of him in the alternate universe that sort of helped her realize she was.
And so, when I say gone now, I mean, like, for her, she's in one spot in the relationship, and he's way in a different spot.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be.
Plus, he's got the guilt of having betrayed her.
Well, and that's the thing is, she's going to. Yeah, so that's her thing is, how come he didn't know? She's going to have that going on. You must not know me that well if you couldn't tell.
Right.
So he's got to deal with that. But anyway.
It'll be interesting.
Thumbs up. I'm excited about the next new episode, Love and Fringe.
Totally.
The next show we want to talk about is Supernatural. And this was...
They kind of had this was a kind, yeah, final kind of finale of sorts.
Yeah, they wrapped up a storyline that they had been going on for a while, which was Crowley is going to give Sam back his soul if they do these missions.
Right.
And they kind of resolved that, not necessarily in a good way, but they resolved it. And man, Mitch Pileggi was tripping.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm like, how can you do all this to bring your daughter back and look her in the face and be like, I sacrificed your sons to bring you back?
Yeah.
You can't do that.
That was the thing that bugged me about his character, because like they clearly knew that Crowley must have had something on him to get him to do this. And then we find out it's because he can bring his daughter back. I'm like, no, come on. We've done this.
Well, that's the thing. They did bring that up. They were like, what is this, our family affliction? We're always making deals with demons to bring back family members?
But, I mean, seriously, making deals with demons is one thing. But making deals with demons and then sacrificing your grandkids to him?
Right. That makes no sense.
That's a whole nother level.
But the thing is, the parent-child bond is stronger than the parent-grandchild bond.
Well, his thing is he didn't know them. Bond.
Yeah, he didn't know them.
He didn't know them,
but I don't think he really likes them. Because they're kind of disrespectful.
Perhaps not, but as Libya said, like, let's say he does all that, gets his daughter back, do you really think that she's going to appreciate it?
Well, I mean, how do you have that conversation?
Yeah.
She's going to be like, where are my sons?
She's going to hate him forever.
He might as well have not brought her back. You know what I mean? He's not going to have... I was like... Look at Children of Earth.
I don't disagree with you, but I can understand his motivations, warped though they are.
I understand it I understand him working with Crowley to get his daughter back up to the point where you sacrifice your grandchildren.
Yeah.
That's what derails me.
He does help them.
No, it was a setup. It was his whole setup. He sent them into a trap.
Yeah.
That was not helping them.
But you could argue that,
it was a trap.
And
Dean was like, yeah, the next time I see
they,
you...
They
I
got out of that it. By the skin of their teeth. That was not like him helping them.
And he stood there as they were dragging him to be fed to ghouls.
Yeah.
He just stood there in the corner with his head down. No. Mm-hmm. After that, I think we're no longer family.
You know what? You know what that reminded me of? Is when Sam watched as Dean got...
No, it wasn't quite the same.
It reminded me of. I'm not saying it's the same.
The difference here is Samuel still has his soul. So, what's his excuse?
This is true. I'll be interested to see where they're going to go from now, because it seemed like the Crowley thing was going to be like the season arc.
That was surprising.
I was actually really surprised that they did that, that they actually killed Crowley.
Unless they're going to try to find a way to help Castiel with the war.
Oh, Castiel watching porn with the boys was disturbing and funny. Because they were like, I don't understand why the pizza man doesn't do such and such. And they're like, are you watching porn?
It's like, if the pizza delivery man really loves the babysitter, why does he slap her bottom?
Repeatedly.
And he's like, has she done something wrong? I was like, oh my God.
It's like, first of all, you don't watch porn in a room full of dudes. Second of all, you don't talk about it.
And then the dad, and then Samuel comes in. And he's like, is that what you guys do? Sit around watching porn with angels?
And Cassio's like, we're not supposed to talk about it.
That was fantastic. Then he kisses the demon. He goes, I learned that from the pizza man. That was so bizarre.
Or the callback that I can leave, I could have left you with Meg for an hour before.
He's like, what would I do with an hour? It's like, I don't understand. So he sort of gets sex, kind of, but not really.
Yeah.
That was pretty amusing. I have to say that what they're doing with Castiel is really kind of interesting. However, his whole the thing at the beginning. Oh, he gave him the plot for Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, I love that.
That was brilliant.
To show up.
That was brilliant.
That was so brilliant. It's like, we found this golden box, and it burned the faces off of a bunch of Nazis, and we think it might be the Ark of the Covenant. Cassiel shows up so serious and goes, where's the box?
He's like, dude, that's the plot of Raiders. And he's like, what? But that, because actually I was surprised that Sam managed to get Cassiel, because like Dean needs to be the one that prays Cassiel, because Cassiel shows up when Dean calls. Yeah. He doesn't show up when Sam calls at all. So well, I was really surprised that Sam even tried. That's all.
Yeah, it is.
But the line worked.
The line worked. I was like, wow, Cassiel really is that naive.
Right. That was good. So this was a good episode, except for the only thing I'm going to take away points was the way it ended, which is I expected Sam to be like, I don't want my soul back.
Yeah.
That's totally expected. I have no problem with that. My problem was then he just walks away and Dee's like, Sam, come back here. Don't turn your back on me. I was like, haven't we seen this already? Yeah. Like this, that felt really familiar.
Well, it was the role reversal. It was like the ultimate role reversal now. It's
well,
like,
no, Sam is always,
Dean and Dean is Sam.
No, Sam is always the one walking away from Dean. It's never Dean walking away from Sam. So that's not even a role reversal. I've seen that scene like 20 times. So I was very not impressed.
Away for a different reason.
I don't care.
He's walking. Yes, the motivation for this walk away is different. Therefore, it is completely original.
Boo. So I'm not.
I agree.
I'm not excited exactly for the new episodes because apparently
unless,
they're split up again. Which
unless
I hate
they can
when the
make
brothers
a,
are split up.
Unless they can make this war in heaven really interesting because we've only just heard little bits and pieces.
Yeah,
about
I
want to
see
it.
Yeah. A lot of talking about the war. I want to see the war.
I'd be interested to know if anybody else is after Purgatory.
That yeah, that's the other thing. Like maybe.
Oh, and who's the girl that was tied up in the prison? That obviously was interesting.
Who?
Meg?
No.
Oh, that
the girl in
chains. What was the deal with that?
I don't know. We don't know.
And
I
got the impression that everybody in that cell was an alpha.
Well, they're supposed to be an alpha.
But you don't know. You know that all of them are alphas and all of them are monsters. But her, he's after her father. He's not after her.
Right.
But we don't know what she is.
Yeah.
And I actually got the impression that they probably should have let her go.
Yeah. I was surprised they didn't we didn't see Castiel smite the facility thus.
Well, he said he was going to take care of it.
I know, but we didn't see it.
Right. Well, they have to
budget.
All right. I think that's about it. That's all the time we have this week. If you guys have any feedback, hit us up at tvcampfire@gmail.com and follow us at Twitter, and we're on Facebook and a lot of other stuff. We'll soon have our blog up and running, hopefully.
Yay.
I'm hoping. And I'm expecting participation from the guests. And
she
they
says
laugh
staring
at me,
daggers at us.
So,
better staring them than throwing them.
I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.